wait, baby. We're gonna kill those Patriots. Preseason.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. That's brilliant, Einstein.
Just saying, huh?
Idiot.
You really have no clue what you're talking about. Check Carson Palmer's home record. Hashtag protect the nest, baby. How about you take it easy on the deflated footballs, big guy? In fact, Tom Brady should have deflated your big, fat head.
Oh no, I crossed the line.
Moron. Let's see if Mr. Tough Guy here wants to put his money where his mouth is. He's got $100. Want that action? I don't think so.
Hey, Phil.
Blake, good to see you.
You too, man. Welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to introduce you to our CEO, Dave, just flew in from Boston.
Dave.
Yeah, I'm just guessing that I'm not the only one in the room that can relate to that video. And maybe for you, it wasn't your online faux pas. Maybe for you, it was in person. You're around the water cooler at work, and you're gossiping about someone. Oh, it's good. And then you realize later, they were sitting in the cubicle 10 feet away. Ever have that happen to you? Or maybe you're complaining, and your boss rounds the corner. He heard it all. Or you go home, and you got caught in a lie. Our verbal missteps are a universal experience. We all trip on our tongues. And it's not just today. Going clear back 2,000 years ago, we're looking at this letter written by James, Jesus' half-brother. And we've got this series we're calling Stretched. And I want to read something to you that comes out of this letter, 2,000 years old, contemporarily relevant. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, here's the reality of it. You and I live here. We all stumble in many ways. We want to live here. What James claims is that if you can control that muscle in your mouth, it's 2.5 ounces. How hard can it be? If you could control that muscle, you could control every other muscle in your body, your diet, your workout, your drinking, your sexuality. Is that true? Answer, you'll never find out. Because you're probably not going to control that little 2.5 ounce muscle in your mouth. Now, to quote another modern prophet, Jimmy Fallon, he started a new hashtag that went viral. It's this, why did I say that? I love Doug's response. Doug says, I'm a farm boy. When my wife was in labor, I said, I'm not nervous. I've seen this a bunch of time with cows. Christina says this. This is hilarious. While taking Kung Fu, my sensei complimented me on my quick learning. I said, thanks. I was in marching band. What? Wah! Da-da-da-da-da. Why did I say that? This next one, I apologize up front. I've been guilty of this. I'm so sorry. Read it yourself. I know. Never ask a woman about her pregnancy unless you are 1,000% sure. Now, I know that all of us can admit we need to tame our tongues. You want to know how? Here's the secret. Here's how you tame your tongue. Ready? Huddle up. You can't. That's what the Bible says. Verse 7, take a look. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Thanks for coming. Drive safe on your way home. No, there's got to be more. If you can, so here's the whole sermon. Here's the sermon in a nutshell. You ready? Everything I want to say in a single sentence. If you can't tame it, you better restrain it. I'll say it again. If you can't tame it, you better restrain it. Now, I wanted to say, if you can't tame it, then you better train it. But that doesn't help either, because we can actually train wild animals, but that doesn't make them safe unless they are restrained. Case in point, Rocky the grizzly bear. 7 feet tall, 700 pounds. Very well-trained animal. In fact, his trainer said that Rocky is the best bear in show business. I bet you've seen him in the movies somewhere doing a trick. Until 2008, when he attacked his trainer and killed him for no apparent reason. And so afterwards, they're asking, why did Rocky go wild? I don't know, because he's a grizzly bear? You think? Manticore is a Bengal tiger that night after night after night in Vegas worked with Siegfried and Roy. He was flawless until 2003 when he attacked Roy and ended his career, nearly his life. Why? Because he's a wild animal. And every few years, you've heard it on the news, right? SeaWorld reports that Shamu kills a trainer, and everyone's, why did Shamu kill a trainer? Because he's a killer whale, maybe? Your tongue is like a wild animal. You can train it, but if you don't restrain it, you will never be safe. And I want to show you how high the stakes are by a quote of Jesus. Now, again, this might be your first day here at CCV. Welcome, by the way, but we're going to talk about you. Or if you've been here for 100 years and never missed, we're going to talk about you. All of us need to learn to restrain our tongues. Here's why. Jesus said, I tell you that everyone who will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, I recognize that some of you may have come with a friend, and you're not yet a Christ follower. We welcome you. And you're going to find benefit from this sermon, because even if you don't believe that you'll be judged by God for every word you say, you know it's true. You're going to be judged by your peers, by your coworkers, by your neighbors, and by your family from every word you say. We've got to learn to restrain our tongues. And I want to teach you something, if you wouldn't mind. This is one of the most important thoughts about words that's ever come across my brain. Here it is. Do you know the very first time language was spoken in the Bible? But most of you probably do. You got it? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. Boom, there was. God said, let there be earth, and let there be land, and let there be animals. God, with his words, created a world. And before the chapter is over, he created you. In his image, God created you. And part of God's image in you is that you have something that no other animal has, and that's language. I want you to follow the logic here. If your language is God's identity in you, his ability in you, then doesn't it follow that your words, like God's words, create worlds? And for some of you, every time you speak, you're creating something. It might be a poem, it might be a song, it might be a relationship, or it might be havoc. But you cannot speak and it not be spiritual. You cannot speak and not create something. I was reminded of that in a painful way this week when CNN reported about a couple in Hot Springs, Arkansas that got arrested for child abuse. And the police took them away, and they went to get their 4-year-old daughter to put her in a safe home. And they asked the little girl, "What is your name?" And she said, "Idiot." Every word you speak, you are creating something. That's why it's so important that we talk about words. So here's what I'm going to do. It's really pretty simple. The whole sermon, one sentence: if you can't tame it, you'd better restrain it. And I want to read through James 3 a little bit with you. And I'm going to look at three passages. And with each passage, here's what I want to offer you. I want to offer a test, a trap, and a tool. The test will allow you to know, is this a problem in my life? The trap will show you the way that you'll misuse words. And the tool will help you overcome that particular trap. You in? Here we go. Test number one. Is this controlled? In other words, is this restrained? Chapter 3, verse 3 says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. An average adult male horse is 1,200 pounds. And you can control that animal with this." Not the whole thing. The bit is actually just the metal piece that goes across. You put that in its mouth, and you can take a 1,200-pound animal and with one hand turn it to the left, turn it to the right, come full stop. And James goes on to talk about rudders of a ship, a small part of the ship, but they control the whole ship. That is your tongue if it's restrained. If your tongue is unrestrained, it's not like a bit, it's more like a spark. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So, what is the difference between a bit and a spark? It's really simple. A bit has a harness. A spark does not. If your tongue is more like a spark that goes whatever direction it wants to go, it will set an entire forest on fire. If you have it under control, you can control your whole body. And those of us who live in Arizona, we know a thing or two about forest fires, right? 2015, worst in recorded history for forest fires. And 2016 is shaping up to be even more devastating. So I got to looking at these forest fires and how they really kind of help moderate a forest fire. Did you know that the firefighters can identify the source of the fire down to about a 10-foot area? They start with satellite photographs and see hot spots, but then they put boots on the ground. I didn't know this. When you're trying to find the origin of a fire, the grass in the forest will point toward the origin of the fire. And that'll get you to about a 10-foot circumference. And then the firefighters get on their hands and their knees looking for any human element, a match, a lighter, a cigarette butt, because 90% of forest fires are from human origin. When we let our words fly out unrestrained, here's what we get. Our traps are gossip and slander. So this last week, to help with my message, I sent a request on social media to several thousand of my closest friends and asked them, what words do most damage in your life? Gossip was number two. I'll tell you later what number one is. Gossip and slander are actually the same thing, only gossip is the cowardly act behind someone's back. Gossip is interesting, and slander is interesting, because if you want to put out that fire, you can actually go back to James' metaphor and figure out how do we put out fires. You know, right? You starve a fire of fuel. Now, if it's a house fire, you can spray water on it and you starve the fire of oxygen. But you can't do that with a forest fire because you don't have the much water. So there, they'll starve a fire of fuel by going to the perimeter, and they find a road or an open meadow, and they'll burn that off to make sure the fire, it lacks fuel to continue. So all you have to do, if you want to stop gossip in his tracks, is identify the source. Now, the trees have lots of different roots that go out, but the tap root of gossip and slander is envy. You want something that someone else has, but you can't get it, so you try to destroy it from them with your words. So you use gossip, you use slander to try to take away the part of their life that you're envious of. If you're sitting, and this would be fun, so try this week, because like 103% of us are going to have an opportunity to hear someone gossip this week. It'll come later. You're sitting around a table, and someone starts to gossip. All you have to do is remove the fuel. Praise is kryptonite to gossip. So when someone starts criticizing and slandering someone else, the person being slandered, they just do this. Don't even acknowledge the gossip. Just praise the person being slandered. You know what I really admire about them? And you will watch a hush come over the room as the oxygen is sucked out of the room and the flames just dissipate. The problem is when you're the one doing the gossiping, because it's harder to stop yourself from gossiping than stopping someone else. Why? Because you are envious and you keep feeding that fire. So let me tell you a truth that might help you think twice before you gossip. If envy is really your motivation for destroying someone else's reputation, gossip is the last thing you should do. Why? You know. Just on all our campuses right now, if you know someone who's a gossip, raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, it's because you're a liar, not a gossip. That's okay. We all know gossips, and we all, me included, like to listen to gossips because they're interesting. But if someone is a gossip, a friend, a neighbor, maybe a family member, you all know one, you don't tell them your secrets because they're not safe. You know that if a gossip will gossip about someone else, as soon as you turn your back, you could be the object of their slander. So what happens with a gossip is the fire destroys a reputation, but it's not their enemies, it's their own. And if you're wondering why people at work don't tell you their secrets, it might be because you're a gossip. So let me offer you a tool that will help you get out of this trap if it's your particular trap. Here's the tool. If you wouldn't sign it, don't say it. You want to know if you're a gossip or not? Just go back through your texts and pretend that a lawyer got a hold of them and typed them on a paper and put them on his desk and asked you to sign it. If you refuse to sign it, you're a gossip. Or the conversation you have around a water cooler or in a locker room, if you refuse to sign it, it's probably because you're a gossip. How do you stop gossip from coming out your own mouth? You know it will harm you more than the other person, but it becomes such a habit for us. Here's what you need. You ready? It's really simple. You need 2 seconds. A 2-second pause between the time it hits your brain and the time it passes your lips. James says, no one can tame the tongue. I say, no one can tame the thumb. You need 2 seconds between the time you think the thought and the time you type it out and press send. If you had just 2 seconds, you could solve this problem and put out this fire of slander and gossip. How do you get 2 seconds? So glad you asked. When I was 14 years old, and no, there will be no photographs in this piece. When I was 14 years old, I had a foul mouth, mostly because I had foolish friends. And we tried to outdo each other. Who could be the crudest? Who could use more cuss words? Who could be the vilest in our jokes? And the Holy Spirit convicted me. That's not the man that I want you to become. So I solved the problem of cussing, you might not believe this, in 5 days. How? You just get yourself a permanent marker, just a thin point permanent marker, and let this finger be Monday. And on Monday, every time I cussed, I would write it on my finger, just a little hash mark on my finger. But I didn't realize that I was actually cussing. So it was 10 minutes later, I'd be sitting at my desk going, whoa, I just said that, and oh yeah, that, and that, and that, and that, and that. End of the day, my marks went down to my wrist. Not proud of it, it's true. Day two, the marks only went down to my palm. And instead of remembering what I said 10 minutes later, it was 2 minutes later. By Wednesday, it only went down to my knuckle, because then I started realizing what I was about to say as the words were going out my mouth. No, you can't get them back. By Thursday, it was only under my fingernail. And by Friday, there was almost nothing at all. Why? I had gained for myself 2 seconds. That's really all you need. If you're a gossip or a slanderer, you need 2 seconds to stop it before it hits your thumbs, before it hits your lips. Now, don't get distracted on all the details. All I want to say, this is a one-point sermon, all I want to say is, if you can't tame it, you'd better restrain it. Here's test number two. Is this me? Your words are an online biography describing who you are. The problem is, for most of us, there's two of us. Watch what James says about this in verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? No. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can salt springs produce fresh water. So why is it that we as human beings can produce both blessing and cursing? Because there's two of you. One is created by God and is good. The other comes from our culture. The pressures of this world will impose their values on us. You have the potential of being two very different people, one in the image of God and the other in the image of this world. What you do with your words will determine which biography you write. But look, all of us, because we're created in the image of God, every time we speak, we create. And the trap that we fall into when we try to create a false persona is flattery, lies, and arguing. And I want to highlight lies for a moment, because for most of us, that is the most dangerous time to trip over your tongue. Why? Because if I gossip about you, I can come back later and say, man, I am so sorry, and you'll understand. But lies are harder to admit than anything else. You know why? Because when I admit that I lied to you, I confess two things. Number one, I'm not trustworthy. And number two, I don't trust you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have lied to you. But each of these are ways of creating your own world that don't match the person you actually want to become. What is the root of flattery, lies, and arguing? Where does this come from? All trees have lots of roots, but the tap root of these is pride. It is because of our pride that we flatter, that we lie, that we argue. I really don't want to admit this, but I feel like I need to. I am a liar. Now, if you were to follow me around and hear every word I said for 2 weeks or 2 months or even 2 years, you would probably never hear me lie. But that doesn't change the fact of what is inside me. And here's how I know. About 15 years ago, I had a septic line go out in my property in Missouri. When I was in Missouri, I thought, man, I can do this myself. So I rented a backhoe, I dug the line, I put the gravel in it, but I wasn't sure I had the right slope or the right depth, the right gravel. So a friend of mine had a friend who was an expert. And the friend of my friend came over to inspect my line. He looked at it, he said, everything looks pretty good to me. Then he said, you know, you have to have a permit to dig on your own property, which I didn't know because I'm ignorant. And then he asked this question. You do have a permit, don't you? And every man in here knows exactly what I said. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course I have a permit. What do you think? I'm stupid. I went in the house and I looked in the mirror. I could not believe I lied. And I asked myself, where did that come from? You want to know where it came from? From in me. Look, here is a tool that this is going to be helpful for you. If this is your problem, here's a tool that you have to know this tool. Nothing can come out of you that isn't already in you. Like you're not gonna have words come out and you go, well, I didn't mean to say that. And if you've ever had a lover or a friend or a business partner say, man, I didn't mean that. They're a liar. Because you can't have something come out of you that isn't from within you. That's why it is so important for us. If you can't tame it, you better restrain it, which is why I take such care to make sure that my pride is in check. Let's get to tool number three. Third tool is this: is it wise? Now, we're going to start reading in chapter 3, verse 16, and you're going to think that James has shifted gears, maybe changed the subject. He's not. He is on point with this. Listen, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I want you to pay particular attention to this. Those who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Wise words bring peace. Foolish words will bring discord. They will separate people one from another. What are the primary traps of unwise words? Well, here are three traps that we often fall into: nagging, complaining, and mockery. Now, ladies, I'm not just picking on you with nagging here. I had a conversation this last week that was telling for me. Two women in a coffee shop, I asked a simple question. What words do you most regret after saying them? And both of them, almost in unison, said, nagging. Guys, you need to know this. Women hate being nags. So I asked the women, why do you regret nagging your husbands? And one woman said this. Guys, I want you to hear this. This one woman spoke for so many wives, probably yours. Here's what she said. My husband has done so much for me. I should be thankful for what he's already done, not nagging him for what he hasn't yet done. Guys, if you're anything like me, you hate nagging. In fact, the Bible has this funny proverb that says, it's better to live in a desert than in a house with a complaining and nagging wife. I know, there's some guys out there going, oh, great, I'm married to a nagging wife in a desert. I ask a follow-up question of this woman. I said, all right, if you don't like to be a nag, then why do you nag your husband? Guys, you better listen. She said, when I feel like my husband doesn't understand how I'm feeling, I will circle the issue again. And when women circle an issue, we tune out. So they circle it again. We tune out again, again, again. And that's a terrible problem that we have. That's nagging, complaining. You know, the online survey I mentioned earlier, this was the number one issue that people struggle with. I was surprised. I thought it would be gossip. But I talked to a friend of mine at our neighborhood group who has been in retail all his life. He has led large teams in major retail stores. And he said, of all of the kinds of misspeaks, that one will cost you more business than any other. If you're in business, you should pay attention here. Complaining will divide your team the same way that nagging will divide your marriage. Nagging divides a family. This is one woman on the online survey. She said, my children call it nagging. I call it parenting, but be that as it may. Nagging, someone wants to amen. Nagging divides a family. Complaining divides a company. Mockery will divide a nation. Aren't you seeing it in the current presidential election? And it's not just the candidates that are mocking each other. It's their constituents that are mocking the other side. What is the root of these traps? What causes us to nag and complain and mockery? A tree will have many roots, but the tap root of all of these is ambition. You want something, you want it now, and you want it your way. And if you don't get it, you will punish the other person by nagging, by complaining, and by mockery. So what is the antidote for all of these? This is not in your notes. It's worth writing down. Gratitude. Ladies, if you want your husband to listen to you better, thank him for what he's already done instead of complaining about what he hasn't yet done. He will be all ears, and maybe we'll get to what you want him to do. If you want to perform better at work, thank your boss that you have a job. And shouldn't we all be thankful to God that we get to live in this nation instead of mocking it? We should be grateful to God for what we have in this nation, the freedom that we enjoy and the prosperity that we enjoy. All of these traps that we fall into are damaging to us. What is the tool that can help us with these particular traps? Here it is. Ambition tears down, wisdom builds up. And if you'll just take this tool as a measuring rod and put it next to your words, you will know how well you're doing. Are your words building the team and building your family and building our nation, or are you causing division among people? This is such an important lesson. And I appreciate you listening. I hope this has been helpful. But let me give you something to take away, something you can walk away with that hopefully will help you apply this message to your life this week. Here's the takeaway. I want you to perform an online word audit. What do I mean? Well, we've produced a tool for you. If you're using our app, you see it right there. Just say, start now. And up will come a page that has all eight of the traps that we fall into and a proverb or several that will help you put a leash on your tongue with that particular trap. Now, if you're not using the app, you still have access to this online word audit. You just go to the website, ccv.church. Click on the Stretched series, and you will see a link to this one-page PDF file that will help you have ammunition to harness your tongue. Because listen, if you can't tame it, you better restrain it. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the gift of words, and especially for the Word who became flesh and died for all of our sins, including these. And I pray that this week your Holy Spirit would have leverage through your word in Proverbs to help us leash our tongues and control the flame to put out the fires that have been started in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.